Let's pray. Father God, we just welcome you here. We just thank you for your word that is so freely available to us. And we pray, Lord God, that you would open our hearts to hear what you want us to hear. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, fact or fiction? There are a lot of people who actually don't believe this story. They think it's too far-fetched, the miracles are a little bit too much. Some even dispute Jonah's existence. They say, yeah, I'm not really quite sure about that dude. Some people believe that he actually died in the belly of the fish due to the language that he uses in the prayer that Steve spoke about. It says he uses the frame from the grave. So some people think that he actually died. So they believe it's a literal analogy of Jesus's death and resurrection on the cross due to the similarity, 3 days, 3 nights in the depths for both Jonah and Jesus. I'm going to have to swap hands. Yeah, no. Never used this thing before, I'm all fingers and thumbs. So, whatever the question, I choose to believe it simply because it's in the Bible, and as a Christian, if I get a bit picky about what I believe in there, I could find myself on a bit of a slippery slope. And I also believe it because there's surprising evidence, actually, to back it up. So, as we know, Jonah was the son of a prophet, Amittai. He appears in 2 Kings 14, where he predicted Jeroboam II's military successes against Syria. His genealogy, as I said, is referred to at the beginning of the book of Jonah. He wasn't a fictional character. He was part of Israel's prophetic history. Oh, hang on. Oh, see, look, I'm doing two different things at the same time. Anyway, moving on. So, secondly, in the 3rd century BC, a Babylonian priest and historian named Berosus wrote of a mythical creature named Oannes, who, according to Berosus, emerged from the sea to give divine wisdom to men. Berosus wrote in Greek during the Hellenistic period. Oannes is just a single letter removed from the Greek name Ioannes. Ioannes happens to be one of the 2 Greek names used interchangeably throughout the Greek New Testament to represent the Hebrew name Jonah. So what this essentially means is that Berosus wrote of a fish man named Jonah who emerged from the sea to give divine wisdom to men. I think that's a good corroboration if you ask me. Thirdly, in terms of geography, Nineveh is located on the outskirts of present-day city Mosul in Iraq. The site is known today by the 2 mounds that cover it, the Koyunik and the Nebi Yunus. Nebi Yunus in Arabic means Prophet Jonah. Seems to me that he made quite a splash. Ba-dum-cha. Thanks. And fourthly, Jesus talks about him. 3 of the 4 New Testament Gospels mention Jesus referring to Jonah, and if he's good enough for Jesus, then he's good enough for me. So why have I made such an effort to validate this story for you? Basically, because if we don't believe its truth and its authority, then we can't believe in the truth authority of the lessons that we could learn from it. So, as I say, prophet, son of Amittai, grew up in a small town just north of Nazareth. Surprisingly, the name Jonah means dove. But he was utterly cantankerous, as we know, and he almost shouts at God for having such a merciful nature and twice exclaims that he would rather have died than lived. But just like Steve said, which we didn't plan, bit of a God incident there, I would like to recategorise Jonah. I think he was incredibly brave, stupid, as we've said, but brave. So he just plainly hated the Ninevites. Nineveh was Assyria's capital and one of the oldest and largest cities in the world at that time. It was a great but evil empire and Israel's most dreaded enemy. But Jonah had put himself in God's judgment seat here regarding their salvation, and he just deemed them too wicked to save, and he wanted nothing to do with their salvation plan. And it says in chapter 4 that he actually argued God even before he ran away. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. So he was a pretty headstrong, pretty angry, pretty miserable guy. But God wanted to use him anyway. He was determined to use him anyway. And like Jonah, we are actually really far from being able to be used by God, but we are never too far from his grace. And that means he wants to involve us anyway. And this is a huge comfort to us, isn't it, when we think about trying to do things for God. So, as we've learned in chapter 1, the ship set sail. At some point, God sends a big ship, the storm for the ship. Everyone thinks they're all going to die. They throw lots to see whose fault it is. Jonah comes up from being asleep. And, all my fault. Really sorry, guys. Throw me over. At that point, the sea will become calm. And again, if I'm on a boat, I will not even dip my toe over the edge. There is not a chance I would be saying, yeah, throw me in, it's fine. Because we've got the benefit of knowing the rest of the story. Jonah, at this point, would have assumed he was getting thrown to his death for disobeying God. That is the position that he is in right now. He is essentially sacrificing his life for the men on that boat. Where have we heard that before, I wonder? So, in verse 17 of chapter 1, it says that the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Like I say, this was not a given. Jonah didn't know how this was going to turn out. And this is something that I want us to think about today. You know, where do you feel that God is actually asking you to be just a little bit brave? There's no way Jonah could have come up with that scenario, not a chance, let alone his life being spared, but in such a miraculous way. God caused a huge fish to find him before he drowned. He caused it to swallow him and enabled him to survive in there for all that time. Then God caused the fish to spit him out on the precisely correct shoreline. There's just so much to take from that. And sometimes I think we need reminders that God lives outside the natural. He made it. So he has to exist outside of it. And I think we just need to trust him a little bit more than we sometimes find ourselves to know that he can do the miraculous and that he is with us, even when sacrifices might look really scary. So as we've said in verse 15 to 16, it says this, "Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to him and made vows to him." And I just love this. God never misses an opportunity. Never misses it. So before he even reaches Nineveh, Jonah's sacrifice already saved the people on that boat. And even if our story ended there, how miraculous that would have been. And it got me thinking, how many times do we miss opportunities for God to do amazing things because of that little lack of bravery? So from researching this, sorry, I just wanted to show you all a giant whale, just because it was really scary. So for researching this, I found the most fascinating things that I just didn't know. There are suggestions from Jonah's time in the belly of the great fish that stands to reason that he would have actually been bleached white from head to toe because of the stomach acids inside the stomach's fish. Stomach's fish and fish's stomach. So what a miracle to provide that. Despite that natural process, that he survived. And what is interesting here is that God could have saved Jonah via a fish, got him to spit him out on any old shore, and he probably would have carried on with his journey. Probably would have done what he needed to. But God uses this to take his time, because Jonah needed time. He needed time to repent. He needed time to actually think about what he'd done and what he was going to do. And the whole of chapter 2 almost is a prayer of repentance and praise to God. So not only did these 3 days, three nights cause Jonah's skin colour and everything on him to turn white, I kind of wondered whether this physical turning white was also a bit of a reflection of the internal purification, as it were, of his soul. Turning white, a bit more pure, a bit more like what God wants him to be. And what's funny is that Jonah wouldn't have known that he was turning white because he wouldn't have been able to see his hand in front of his face. It would have been pitch black in there. He would have had no idea what was happening to him. The first people who actually would have known what was happening to him would have been the sailors on the Assyrian shore that saw him spat out of the fish. He would have had no idea. And I want to encourage you today that the difference that Jesus is in your life is actually helping people to see you differently more than you think. I had a Jehovah's Witness knock on my door once, and the lady with her was chatting to me, but she just kept staring at me. And I was really confused, and she just kept saying, "Oh, you just look really healthy. Really? Oh, yeah, yeah." And she just didn't know what to say because she just couldn't see, couldn't put a finger on what it was that this difference in me, this, you know, that Jesus was the difference. So this was the other thing that rocked my boat. Sorry. People of Nineveh were pagan, as we said. They worshipped many gods, and one god in particular was the fish man god named Dagon. He's represented sometimes as a guy wearing a fish, sometimes as half man, half fish, merman. Several carvings of this god have been found in excavations of the ancient city. This was the chief deity of the Philistines at the time, said to be the father of Baal, and also mentioned in three other places in the Bible. But when I found that this was the Ninevites' god of choice, it just blew me away. What a way to get the Ninevites' attention. A guy bleached ghostly white from head to toe is vomited out of a giant fish on Assyria's shores. That made them take notice. There probably would have been rumours of him before he even reached Nineveh, of this guy, this god almost, being vomited out of this fish. And it just shows us, doesn't it, how much God wants to get us to listen. He knows what will make us listen. He knows how to personally speak to us. And that just, that element of it just blew me away. So what are we going to do about what we've learned today? This is the tricky bit for me. You know, do we put ourselves in the judgment seat? Do we do a bit of a Jonah and go, there's plenty of people in the world today do not deserve God's grace and mercy? Absolutely not. You know, the Bible story of Jonah, it finishes with the question all about, are we right? Was Jonah right to make that judgment? God is saying we need to be considerate to those who live in spiritual darkness and compassionate. You know, do we actually secretly desire vengeance for such evil people? It is such a challenge. And the other thing that I want to finally finish with is just to encourage you to find your brave. I am totally preaching to myself here. Find your brave. We simply don't know how things are going to turn out. When God is in it, when it is God ordained, when it is God orchestrated, we have no idea what he can do to make it work for his good. Even if he's like asking you to do something major, mostly it is minor stuff, isn't it? Go and say hello to that person. Go and say that person looks nice. You know, it can be tiny things, but even if it is major, he's asking you to do that because he exists outside the natural to enable us to do the supernatural. Be confident in his promises to you, to be with you and for you. And finally, just be encouraged. Our relationship with Jesus, that kind of white purity, that salt and light, as we sometimes call it, people need to see that. And we have been changed for a purpose. He wants to share his love with everybody. And as people who, by his grace, have it, we are called to share that love. And remember, our faults don't discount us from his service. We are still, thanks to his grace, invited to be part of his great love story. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this time to be able to look at your words and something that we don't always look at, Lord, but we can get so much from. And I pray that you would help us to find our brave as we go about the week ahead and to hear your voice, Lord, and just to ask for you to be with us in all that we do, Father God, and to know that we need to share your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.